Hello and welcome to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. My name is Lee from FPL Family.
And I'm Harry from FPL Harry.
Harry, it's been a very big weekend for FPL managers. Lots for us to discuss on this week's Off the Bench podcast. Game week 20, of course, isn't over yet either. We've got two games left for that double game week to complete. Palace versus United on Wednesday, as well as City versus Spurs on Thursday. And this game week, over 450,000 managers triple captained Haaland. I was one of them. More on that a bit later on. And over 40,000 managers used the triple captainship on Marcus Rashford. So it's the 40,000, it's the minority that are sitting pretty halfway through game week 20. Like I say, I played my triple captainship on Haaland this week. You didn't though. So why did you decide to go against the 450,000 that used the triple captain this week?
Yeah, so I thought it was a decent enough opportunity looking at it. I am a big fixtures person and I did look at it and think it is Manchester United and it is Tottenham. And I think a lot of people who played it did have a sort of slight doubt about whether there would be a better double game week for Haaland or for someone else later down the line. I know Haaland's been a great asset for us. I'm not necessarily locked into playing it on him, as we saw Marcus Rashford's in great form at the moment. So there's potential that he gets it later on in the season. Harry Kane, if there is a really nice, good double, I tend to not do that well with my triple captain. I think a lot of us think, actually looking at it historically, the triple captain tends to be more of a pain and it tends to go, you know, we think about the Sanes, the Manes of previous seasons where they get one pointers and injuries. I don't love it, but I do tend to play it when I've got two nice fixtures. And I looked at the game week 23 double, even for Manchester City, where they have Arsenal, but also that Aston Villa or a home fixture, and just thought,
yeah,
I prefer
nice fixture.
That. I tend to save my chips later on the season. So I thought, I don't love the form they're in at the moment as well. I can't believe I'm saying that about Manchester City, but their form isn't quite one of putting 3-4 goals past people. And the form their two opponents have been in at the moment, I decided that I would swerve it for this week, although I was pretty nervous watching that game on Saturday morning.
Yeah, totally. I must admit, I was going into that game thinking, you know, City, you're right, haven't looked too great, have they? They haven't looked the kind of powerhouse that they were earlier on in the season. So we'll get to that game in just a second. Let's do our teams though, as we stand. What score are you currently on with two games left to go in the double game week?
It's not started well. I'm on 41, but I took a minus
41.
Eight with a minus eight as well. Yeah.
What a week to come on the podcast, Harry. Well done.
Exactly. Let me talk you through it. I mean, I took a minus eight. I brought in Harry Kane, who I think a lot of people did.
Yes.
I didn't quite have the ability to go to Kevin De Bruyne unless I sold Mo Salah, which in theory, in hindsight, I should have done. But as a Chelsea fan, I was too enraged by watching my own team play. So I decided to sell Mason Mount and brought in Riyad Mahrez. It hasn't paid off quite straight away, but I didn't want any Chelsea players in my team. And I made one of the biggest errors FPL managers can ever do in making an early transfer in bringing in John Stones before the price changes for Harry Kane, and I had the exact money to do all three, and now of course John Stones hasn't played. I do have Ben White sat first on my bench, so if John Stones doesn't feature in the later match, then I will get Ben White off the bench. But it hasn't started well at all. How about you?
So having brought in John Stones, you're hoping now that he misses out on both games so that you get Ben White
the double
off the bench.
Game week. Yeah.
This is peak FPL, Harry. Well done, mate. Well done. So my game week is going slightly better, although not that much better. I also took a minus four for Stones and Kane, made the same mistake you did. So the less said about that, the better. Did we back Harry Kane to get anything at the Etihad in the second game in the game week? I'm not sure the way that Spurs played yesterday, but we'll talk about them a bit later on. Currently sitting on 49 points. Star of the show, the Chelsea goalkeeper Kepa. Absolutely sensational. 10-pointer. And it was a pretty difficult decision to make between Kepa and Ward, because Ward had a nice fixture against Forest, didn't he? But just fancied that Chelsea game to be low scoring. So I went with the Chelsea man. Very happy to get the 10-pointer out of him. Trippier coming in clutch as usual with the 9-pointer. I mean, this guy, I mean, talk about Mr. Consistency for FPL. Trippier, one of the assets of the season. So good. Rashford sitting there with 10. Haaland's currently sitting there with 6 because of the triple captaincy. But outside of that, the only other player that I want to give a shout out to, and because I have Darwin Nunez in my team who didn't feature at all for Liverpool against Brighton, is I've got Hugo Bueno sitting first sub on my bench. So a little bit of FPL jam for me. Coming in at 6.1. percent team selected by, so a really nice differential, 6 points coming off my bench. So actually sitting at about 49 plus 6, so what's that, 55 points with Stones, De Bruyne, Haaland, Rashford, Shaw and Kane all still to go. So at the moment sitting on a small green arrow, but hoping for better once Haaland comes in against Tottenham.
Yeah, that's a pretty good start. I have, sadly, Kepa staring at me on the bench. I went the other way with that goalkeeper switch. Again, being pained by watching my team play over the past couple of weeks, did not think we'd keep a clean sheet. And although Forest have looked better, Leicester have conceded goals to quite a few top sides since the restart. So I thought maybe there'd be a little bit of a return to form. And I've got the same decision to make going into game week 21, which I'm not sure which way I'm going to go with those two yet. But luck has not been on my side, apart from, again, I had Saka as well. Very pleased. And I think Arsenal are going to be hot property going into the next few weeks as well.
They look very, very good, don't they? Very good. Well, I'm kind of glad Chelsea did get the win. Otherwise, it'd be me and you here talking about, well, we wouldn't want to talk about our teams, would we? Liverpool and Chelsea. I certainly don't want to talk too much about my team over the weekend. But we did touch briefly on the Manchester derby. Let's start there, because what a great game that was. 2-1, 10 minutes to go at Old Trafford, and United turn it round into a 2-1 victory. Now, the United of, you know, previous seasons that we saw under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and other managers maybe wouldn't have had that kind of resolve, right? They wouldn't have had that kind of grit to dig that one out 2-1. But somehow under Erik ten Hag, they've got their act together, haven't they? And suddenly, say it quietly, or Manchester United fans won't be saying it quietly, I will be as a Liverpool fan, they're in the title race, aren't they?
Well, exactly. And I think this result summarises exactly what Manchester United have wanted and what Manchester United fans have wanted to see from their team and what Ten Hag is creating there. Although probably until 75 minutes, particularly after the Manchester City goal went in, it was pretty one-sided for about 20-25 minutes of that game. You know, Eriksen started the game very well, but once the subs started to come in, they really did start to turn it around. And we have seen over the past couple of weeks, Manchester City have been vulnerable at the back. There's been a lot of changes, a lot of us looking to buy into Manchester City defenders going into this double game week. And we all know how difficult it's been to try and pick the one that's going to start both weeks. Is it going to be Cancelo? Has he lost his place? Is it going to be Lewis, Akanji, Ake? And again, it's a complete different back four we've seen again from them, which isn't helping their defensive structure. But I think credit has to go to Manchester United. Again, points coming all across the team when you look in terms of their attacking returns. But one man continuing to stand out, and that is Marcus Rashford, up to about 7 million still. The fact that, you know, he's still so cheap, he got a big price reduction this season. He looks like a mainstay in our teams now, between now and the end of the season, unless he gets an injury, which of course he did look at half time. It looked like a little bit of a nervous time for Manchester United with him picking up a slight knock. If he hadn't have come out for the second half, I don't necessarily think we'd be looking at the result the same way we are.
Yeah, I think I would absolutely say if you haven't got him yet, get him in your team. It's just that slight niggling feeling, like you say. There was he kind of pulled his hamstring a little bit. He was kind of feeling his hamstring, wasn't he? Now he carried on to play the game and everything looks fine. If I didn't have him in my team, I'd want to hear from Erik ten Hag to make sure that he's okay. But the fixtures look great, right? I mean, in 21, they're going away to Arsenal, as we know. What a good game that's going to be, and potentially a kind of six-pointer, if you like, at the top of the league there. But after that, you know, Palace at home, Leeds, Leicester, Brentford, the next four look really good. So Rashford is locked in my team. I have no real feeling to take out Luke Shaw either. His versatility at the back for Ten Hag is really making him a bit of a nailed-on pick at the back there, whether he plays at wing-back or at left centre-back, which is a position that we haven't necessarily seen Luke Shaw in before, but seems to be thriving in. If I was going to treble up, though, Harry, or if you were going to treble up, where would you go? Because I know Bruno's got the goal at the weekend, but as we know in FPL, going to cost you quite a bit in terms of your FPL pounds. Difficult to know where to go on the treble up, or is it? Would you have a look at Wout Weghorst now that he's a Manchester United player?
Well, this is it. And we've had it in previous seasons with teams like Manchester City.
Yeah.
Well, with Wout, we've had it in previous seasons. We all know about capsing him last season as double game week. But in terms of teams that we've had where there have been two great assets like Salah and Trent, and then we've had it with Kevin De Bruyne at Manchester City with Cancelo. And it's like, well, actually, I don't gain anything if Manchester United start to win games because everyone's got Shaw and everyone's a lot of people
picks,
got Rashford. Yeah. We start to have to think about where we're going to add onto it, but it's really, really difficult to try and find a third Manchester United asset to be going and buying into our teams. Of course, Fernandes would probably be the pick, but he's very expensive. And with us having the likes of Kevin De Bruyne for his double game weeks, for Harry Kane, for example, as well, and of course, Erling Haaland, the budget isn't really there for him. You could look defensively, it's probably the easiest place to find a player that's going to play most weeks. You could go to Hare in goal, but goalkeeper transfers is not something that I necessarily back and a lot of people don't do. Varane, Martinez, I expect to come back in. Ten Hag said he's just not played a lot of minutes since he's returned from the World Cup, which is why he didn't start in the Manchester derby. going forward, I find it very difficult. Martial, of course, came off at halftime. We do know Martial on his day can be very good, but he does have that injury-prone side to him. Of course, only picked up a one-pointer with Wout Weghorst coming in. Exactly who's going to line up if they especially start to play a lot of games in quick succession is going to be very difficult. In midfield as well, Sancho, Antony, the wingers that we would expect to be scoring points aren't really there.
Yeah, they're not really showing up at the minute, are they, those guys?
No, and if you actually look at the points for Manchester United midfielders, it's Eriksen who comes in after Fernandes, and then it's Casemiro as well. And actually, if I had to buy one of them, although I'm not really saying it's going to happen, Casemiro at 4.9 million would be the one that I would say he's going to start every game, and he has a little bit of goal threat, a little bit of assist potential, as he showed in the Manchester derby. But I don't look at any of them outside of Shaw and Rashford and think you're the one that's going to be scoring goals, which goes back to the point, if Marcus Rashford, what something was to happen to him, it would put a little bit of doubt in my mind about whether I'd want any of the attackers.
Yeah, and I hear you on Casemiro, and he's made such a difference to that Manchester United midfield, hasn't he? But I don't think you're going there in FPL. Those five midfield slots are so precious to us, aren't they? And we, in that price bracket, we've got Andreas Pereira, we've got some of the Brighton midfielders, which we absolutely need to talk about at some stage, because I'm looking at one of those as my transfer in ahead of 21. So we'll come to those a bit later on. I don't think I can make a case for Casemiro. So I think I'm going to be sitting there with Rashford and Shaw and be pretty happy that I've just got those two guys. We spoke briefly at the beginning of the podcast about Manchester City, though, their opponents, United's opponents at the weekend. A little bit kind of out of form, a little bit, you know, not the powerhouse that they were early on in the season. What are we putting that down to? I mean, I've got Haaland and I've got Stones and I've got De Bruyne. So I'm heavily invested in Manchester City. And with Wolves at home coming up next, I'm not in any way inclined to change my Manchester City setup. Then they've got the double game week, of course, in 23 on the horizon, which includes, as you rightly say, that really nice looking Aston Villa at home game. And then the big one, the game against Arsenal. I am really looking forward to that game. That's going to be a cracker, I think. But then from 24 onwards, it's Forest, it's Bournemouth. They have Palace on the horizon as well. Got some nice fixtures. So despite the Pep roulette and despite what we're saying about City being seemingly a little bit off the boil, out of form, you're not changing them, are you? Surely ahead of this fixture run.
Well, no, I'm sat here with Riyad Mahrez in my team and Mo Salah as well. So I will be planning to make the switch up to Kevin De Bruyne just because I feel
you are going to do that. Okay.
I feel so, just because Mahrez was fine. It fit my squad structure short term, but I don't think long term. I think Kevin De Bruyne is there, especially with no Cancelo in my team. I have the money to do it, but I wouldn't be going down to two of them. The only thing that I do look at is them defensively, and they are leaking goals, and it is a different defense every week. And you might get to the Wolves fixture this weekend and think that's a good chance for a clean sheet, but you don't know whether your defender's going to be starting for them. And when we look at other defenses in the league who are performing pretty well, you know who's going to be on the pitch every single week. The only potential change that I would look to make over that fixture run is, do I actually need a Manchester City defender if my player's going to play, you know, 3 out of 4 games and they're only going to keep a clean sheet and maybe one or two of those given the form there at the moment. But it is the Wolves fixture and then it is the double, and I just don't think it's really worth using a transfer on. If I had a luxury transfer, if I was on a wild card, maybe I'd consider it.
Maybe.
But
yeah, maybe.
If it's not going to be worth a transfer. Haaland and then De Bruyne as well. De Bruyne, you know, not picked up many returns since the restart, and I think that's got something to do with his form. Teams are doing a better job, as we saw at the weekend. Fred didn't go more than about 5 meters away from Kevin De Bruyne for a lot of that game. They're doing a much better job at man marking him, and it's having an impact on the rest of the team. I do still have the, you know, idea that they will come back to form and we will see the return of Erling Haaland scoring goals. I don't really doubt that, but it's not looking good at the moment. The other thing to mention with them is game week 25. So that could be a blank game week caused by the final of the EFL Cup. Now, Manchester City are not in it. A lot of people expected Manchester City to reach the final of that. But of course, losing to Southampton, it means that they won't have a blank in game week 25 when others in our squad might do so. So again, it's just another reason, although they're not on form, we're likely just to keep hold of them.
Yeah, De Bruyne is a kind of, I have him and I've had him for a few weeks. I've had him since the restart. I think in other seasons, in seasons gone by in FPL, we would be running a little bit low on patience for Kevin De Bruyne. Because I think in terms of, you know, points per pound and his value, it's not really there at the minute. I know he picked up an assist at the weekend, but we're expecting more for the amount of money that we're investing in Kevin De Bruyne. But the kind of, if you step back into and look at the sort of FPL game in a broader sense, there is so much other value around in that midfield and at the back as well, that we're not necessarily going for, you know, the Salahs and some of the other big premium assets. So you can afford to have a premium asset like KDB sitting in there kind of ticking over points when actually You know, you're going to be captain in Haaland most of the time. You might look elsewhere. You know, you've got Rashford is such good value, of course, in the midfield. You've got Almiron and some of the Brighton midfielders and Pereira. There is a lot of value in FPL right now. However, I'd like to think that might change going forward. If the City form doesn't kind of improve in the way that you're expecting it to, and by the way, I expect it to as well. This is Pep's City. They're fundamentally a good team that become a bad team overnight. But part of me kind of wants Haaland to almost kind of stay off the boil a little bit, because it would put some question marks in our head as to who we're going to captain every week. It would kind of get a bit of variance into FPL rather than just sticking it on the Norwegian every single week. So I'm kind of hoping that their form, well, listen, they've got the fixtures to pick it back up, right? And as I said before, I don't think that you're going to be de-investing in Manchester City ahead of these fixtures. But part of me wants that variance in FPL. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. And there are a couple of weeks coming up where I look at, do we start to think about moving the captaincy armband off him? I don't think it's going to happen this week with Wolves at home. But no. In game week 22, where they go away to Tottenham, although Tottenham are not defending particularly well at the moment, you do look at Marcus Rashford in game week 22 at home to Crystal Palace. Yes. And I think there might be a few of us thinking, depending on how they do against Wolves, of course, if Manchester City return and they come back and they beat Wolves, you know, 3 or 4 nil, which they are very capable of doing, it might put a sort of pin in that conversation. But if we continue to see the same sort of stuff, that when that week comes around, we might start to see a little bit more excitement. But as you say, with the amount of value there is, it just means that I could have a cheaper option, or I could just go and have Kevin De Bruyne because I just have the money sat around with the amount of value we have elsewhere at the moment.
Yeah, totally right. Totally right. Well, let's talk about Arsenal then. So City's big rivals for the title. And I say City's big rivals, I mean, we've got to put Manchester United. We've probably got to put Newcastle United in that bracket as well now. But 8 points clear, Arteta's boys. And without, you know, European football to bother them over the second half of the season, you've got to say they are in absolutely pole position. Purred, didn't they, through that first half against Spurs in a North London derby where they made Spurs, I'm afraid Spurs fans, look pretty ordinary. If you were to go in on Arsenal then in FPL, and assuming you are already, I certainly am, I've got Martinelli and I've got Ben White in my team and I'm pretty happy with both of those two. But if you had a kind of a blank sheet of paper right now, Harry, how would you rank the Arsenal assets? Because the likes of Odegaard and Saka and Nketiah up front, who's come in and done a really good job in the absence of Gabriel Jesus. And to be honest, that was the one maybe chink in the armour, wasn't it? A lot of the teams in and around that title race were thinking, oh, okay, no Gabriel Jesus, Eddie Nketiah, is he up to the job? Can he do the business? He really is. He really is doing a great job up there. And he's doing all of that work rate that Gabriel Jesus was doing that's still benefiting those around him. A word, if you wouldn't mind, in particular on their captain, Odegaard, who, dare I say it, put in a Kevin De Bruyne-style performance against Spurs at the weekend. It was really reminiscent of a bit of peak Kev. So Odegaard, absolutely on my radar. Don't have him right now, and I have Martinelli. And it seems a bit wrong to move sideways from Martinelli to Odegaard. But as I said before, those five midfielder slots are pretty precious. But I am considering doubling up on that Arsenal midfield.
Yeah, I think we thought, you know, when Gabriel Jesus was out, that we might see slight regression in how they're performing. You don't notice the difference with Gabriel Jesus out compared to with Nketiah. Yeah. They are performing just as well. Martin Odegaard, I mean, what a player he is turning out to be for them.
What a goal as well at the weekend. What a strike.
What a goal. Again, he's just popping up everywhere he needs to be. His underlying numbers as well are really good. I think I owned him at points last season and he wasn't quite getting there. He was getting the odd return. But this season, he is so key to how he plays. If he's not there, the attack doesn't flow quite as fluidly as he can.
He passes the eye test massively, doesn't he? I don't know how you feel, Harry, but I mean, you can pore over as many stats as you want, but just watching that game at the weekend, you're right. He's absolutely everywhere. Brilliant player.
Yeah, and I hate to say it as a Chelsea fan about an Arsenal player, but I love watching him play as well. I think he plays such beautiful football.
It's nice.
And the few of assists he's had so far this season, he looks really good. I have triple Arsenal in my team, so I already have Bukayo Saka in there. I had him since the restart, and he's done quite well for me. Probably the best in there at the 8 million. And it's quite an interesting conversation, depending on how you frame it. If you look amongst the 8 million midfielders, you think Bukayo Saka stands out as the best one of the lot. He looks better than any of the others we've got in and around that price. But then you suddenly think, but I could save, you know, a million and a half and have Martinelli and Odegaard as my two Arsenal midfielders in there. I do think the Arsenal midfielders are better options than the attackers. I do think I'd rather Martinelli, Odegaard, Saka over having Nketiah. They just feel more consistent in terms of points. And then because there is such an abundance of midfielders in there at the moment, I would then still back one of their defenders. Ben White, the cheap one. Of course, sat on my bench with 8 points, 2 bonus. I would still favour one of the centre-backs, probably Gabriel. If I had to, you know, if I was on wild card this week, it would probably be Gabriel in there, just because Tomiyasu is on the bench. If they play a lot of minutes, I don't think Ben White's going to lose his place. But if Tomiyasu is going to start a game with Tierney Zinchenko being on the left-hand side, there is always still a small bit of doubt in my mind that when they play, you know, two games and they've got a double game week, whether it could be Tomiyasu that comes in. So I probably would go Gabriel. I do like White for his value. Ramsdale, again, got a big haul this week with plenty of saves and bonus points as well.
Played very well, didn't he?
Goalkeeper is an interesting one, and we might talk about generally the sort of options that we've got in the moment, but it then leaves two out of the three of Saka, Martinelli and Odegaard. For me, Odegaard is top of that list, because when he doesn't play, the team do lack a little bit of creativity, and I don't think they look quite as good, which means if you own him, you know, when he plays, they're always going to look as good as they're looking at the moment. So for me, he goes in there. For me, the other one then goes, if you have the money for Saka, then it's Odegaard and Saka. If you need the money elsewhere, then I do not mind Odegaard and Martinelli as well. Smith Rowe coming back potentially is a little bit...
He's one to watch out for, right? Came on as a sub in that game, yeah?
Yeah, likely to rotate slightly more with Martinelli, but we could see Martinelli go up front and it being Ketcher that he rotates minutes with. So if I had to pick, it would be Gabriel, it would be Saka, and it would be Odegaard, but Martinelli in there, Ben White in there, if you need value. There's just so many picks, unlike when we spoke about Manchester United. Arsenal have a nice fixture run coming up, and I think triple ups will be very popular, and there'll be a bit of variance in between them as well.
Yeah, let me pick up on a couple of points you said there, Harry. So first one about Ben White and Gabriel. I tend to agree with you, although I must admit Ben White has done absolutely nothing to suggest that he should be dropped out of that team or in any way not in the first 11. I mean, if you're Arteta, you've got to be looking at it and going, well, it's working. And we as FPL managers and even as football fans, I think, looked at that and said, well, you know, a traditional kind of, you know, centre-half. Ben White always played centre-half most of his career. And he's going to put him wide? You know, that's not going to work, is it? But in classic Arteta fashion, he's made it work. And Ben White, you see him doing those overlapping runs and work really nicely with Saka on that side. So it has worked. And the fact he's picking up the ball in those kind of dangerous areas, he's playing kind of key passes in and around the final third and in the midfield, and not just doing the kind of centre-half role, that's what's given him the bonus points, I think, because I don't think he got any, no goals, no assists. So didn't really get any FPL points other than the two bonus. Ramsdale picks up the three for all of the reasons you mentioned in that game. Good saves and good pass completion rate, and they knock it about and play out from the back, don't they, Arsenal? But in a game where, you know, Odegaard gets a goal, I think Saka gets an assist, Ben White is the one that picks up the two bonus points. So I still think he's phenomenal value. And actually, he is, I've picked up a bit of, I've increased or taken advantage of a bit of value in terms of my team value with Ben White as well. So if I sell him, I'm probably going to lose a kind of 0.2, 0.3 on him. So I'm not really inclined to do that, to be honest with you, Harry. He looks nailed on in my team. The third Arsenal spot, though, if you wanted to go for a third Arsenal spot, is a bit more difficult. And I do want to just pick up on that Emil Smith Rowe conversation. So he's coming back into the team. You mentioned there that if he's going to rotate with anybody, it might be Martinelli. I tend to agree with you. And I hear you. You know, Arteta could therefore put Martinelli up front. He could put Smith Rowe in Martinelli's position. But listen, we've just been talking about how great Nketiah's done as Gabriel Jesus' understudy there. And the fact that he's putting in the work and he's getting amongst the goals and he's working the defenders, which is to the benefit of those around him. Again, if you're Arteta and you're going to stick Martinelli up front, you're going to put Smith Rowe left maybe, you're just messing with a system that's working. And I just don't see that he's going to rotate that much. I just think that they're going to stick with what they know and stick with what's working. So I don't know where Emil Smith Rowe fits into the Arsenal equation coming back from injury. Do you think that he is a threat genuinely for Martinelli? Or do you think that Emil Smith Rowe comes on as a bit of a kind of super sub?
I think Emil Smith Rowe comes on as a sort of super sub. I would probably agree. I think, you know, again, if there's three games in quick succession, we might see early subs for the likes of Martinelli, but I don't necessarily think it impacts his starting position. But it does just do enough to reinforce that if I had to have a wild card now, it would be Odegaard and it would be Saka, the two Arsenal midfielders that I would get to go with. So, because of course, it's likely to put Saka on penalties. Again, it's been a long time. There seems to be not many penalties coming in the Premier League at the moment. Yeah. A lot of the players that we're picking on penalties are not actually getting them, but it is likely that Saka is still going to be on them since the last one was taken. So I would go Saka and Odegaard, but I would not worry if you have Martinelli in your team like I do at the moment. I'm unlikely to make the switch sideways. I still think Martinelli is a great asset on some set pieces as well, but it's just got enough to put that little seed of doubt that if I was on wildcard, I would go Odegaard and I would probably go Saka.
Yeah, I think you're right. Let's move the conversation on to a piece of the podcast that I was not looking forward to, which is Brighton 3, Liverpool 0. You've got Salah in your team. I've got Darwin. I do want to get to Brighton, though, because their fixtures look really, really good going forward. Before we talk about the Seagulls and Liverpool, you've got Salah in your team. What are you going to do with him?
The issue is they've got Chelsea this weekend, which is a team that maybe it's pessimistic of me, but I don't see us defending particularly well at the moment. The chances are I might end up keeping him in, because if I wanted to go to Kevin De Bruyne, which is my move, I'd have to take another -4, which I don't think I'm necessarily going to go and do this weekend. So I might end up keeping him against my own team, which I don't love. But Darwin's an interesting one. And actually, I thought that it might benefit Salah a little bit, because there have been a few missed chances. And I thought Gakpo might potentially, you know, finish at the weekend. But actually, it reinforced to me that you do need Darwin in that team. As much as maybe the chances have come to him and he hasn't finished them, he does create a lot of them, and he does run, and he does, you know, get in behind. He does, you know, stretch defenders really well, which I did think you lacked a little bit. I think, you know, Brighton is not, it might look like an easy game on paper, but they are performing very well at the moment. Both defensively, going forward, and they keep the ball very well. So this was never going to be an easy game going away to Brighton. There are a lot of injuries in that Liverpool, particularly attack at the moment, which isn't helping Mo Salah. He looked like he was playing quite wide again. I don't love him. I think 12.8 million is a lot for us to be paying for him at the moment. Darwin is a similar prospect. I don't think they're worth it for the prices that they are at the moment. I will be looking to sell Salah, but I just can't. I can't take a -4, I don't think, this weekend, given how Chelsea are performing defensively, even though they just kept a clean sheet.
Do you know what? I just can't see how Salah is worth the money in FPL. And there's a sentence I never thought I'd say in game week one, right? That Salah's not worth the money in FPL at the moment. What did you say? It was 12.8 right now. The way that Liverpool are playing, like you say, particularly in that attack, we desperately missed Darwin at the weekend, desperately did. And that's probably why I think I'll give him a stay of execution in my FPL team, because, you know, amongst the Liverpool Twitter sphere, we talk about kind of chaos ball and the fact that actually you never know really what you're going to get with Darwin Nunez in any particular game. But that can be good and bad. You know, it can be chaos. And we've seen him, you know, with his disciplinary record earlier on in the season, which he seems to have sorted out, right? So he got that red card a few weeks back, didn't he? But he does seem to just give us something that a lot of other players don't. He's unpredictable. Like you say, plays on the shoulders of defenders. It can't be easy playing against Darwin Nunez in perhaps the way that it might have been against some of the other Liverpool players for Brighton at the weekend. So I think Darwin gets a stay of execution in my team. But for Salah to be 12.8, and with Kevin De Bruyne sitting there in the same sort of price bracket, with Wolves at home coming up next, and then a double game week in 23. Look, I hear you, and I know he's playing Chelsea, and you're as positive about Chelsea as I'm about my team, Liverpool, at the moment. But I think that move to Kevin De Bruyne looks like the one you'd want to make. I can see why people stay with Salah. I can see why you might say it, because again, in the same way that I said about Kevin De Bruyne earlier, and we're not putting him under that amount of scrutiny, or perhaps the scrutiny that we would otherwise be in FPL, because of the value elsewhere, because you don't necessarily need, you know, him as a cash cow sitting there to take that money out of. Do you feel the same way about Salah? If we needed all these premiums in our teams and there wasn't the value in FPL in terms of the broader game, surely you'd be sitting there going, well, definitely can't have Salah at 12.8. I've got to get that money out of him. I need to downgrade him and spend it elsewhere. But the reality is, we don't need to spend it elsewhere because there's so much value in that midfield in particular.
Well, exactly. So because I don't need the money elsewhere, it hasn't been a priority transfer. So this week, if I needed the money, I might have thought, oh, I'll get rid of him. But I didn't need it. And I saw Brighton and I thought, well, I'm going to have to turn the tide at some point, and maybe this will be a game that he gets something in. So again, it is that sort of, because I've got the money, I've decided to spend it. And we've said that a few times this podcast already. And I don't think it's necessarily a good mentality to have. And if I didn't have Mahrez in there, as you say, that simple switch into Kevin De Bruyne is something that I would definitely be doing this week. But again, I've got triple Manchester City already, so it makes it a little bit more difficult. But if there are people listening that don't have a triple Manchester City and they are sat with Mo Salah, it does seem like a very simple switch given the performances that I suppose both those two are putting in at the moment.
And what about this as a transfer, one that I never thought I would say this season, and putting maybe 8 million in your bank and doing Salah down to a Brighton midfielder? Because I have to say, De Zerbi is doing an unbelievable job at the Amex, isn't he? An unbelievable job. Liverpool, yes, we weren't great at the weekend, there's no doubt about it. But Brighton, all credit to them. They were very, very good indeed. And there's a few FPL assets that are just starting to creep onto people's radars. Now, of course, Solly March gets two goals and assist, isn't he, at this weekend? So he's raking in the FPL points. But on the other wing, you've got Mitoma. You've got McAllister, of course, now, who's back from the World Cup with the gold medal around his neck. You've even got, you know, super, super cheap forward in Evan Ferguson that seems to be getting some game time under De Zerbi. And actually, the manager a few weeks ago came out and said, look, you know, I believe in this young player and I'm going to give him some game time over the next few weeks. And he is. And actually, you know, he's doing very, very well. So with Brighton's fixtures coming up looking, you know, pretty good, to say the least. I mean, they're up against Leicester away in 21, which is a reasonable looking fixture, the way that Leicester have been defending since we resumed. And then Bournemouth at home in 22. What a great fixture. And then Palace and Fulham and West Ham and Leeds on the horizon. I mean, I'm going to be investing in Brighton for game week 21, I think, undoubtedly. I'm just not sure who to go to. It's probably going to be one of those midfielders. How do you feel about them?
Yeah, I think they look really good. And I think when Graham Potter left, there was a slight bit of doubt about whether it was Potter or it was the players that were there. And I think we're starting to see how good the players, I'm not saying it wasn't Potter, but I'm starting to see quite how good the team are playing together under a new manager as well, and how well they are playing still as a team. There are a lot of options that we can go with. A lot of them you've mentioned. Solly March was the one that got the points this weekend. It really is Mitoma, the one that I've got, particularly with the Trossard saga that we've got going on at the moment. Doesn't look like he's going to be playing for them very much anytime soon, which does mean Mitoma on that left-hand side seems pretty nailed on to continue his run of form that he's showing. Of course, only picked up an assist, but he's been getting a reasonable amount of FPL returns, and he's only 4.9 million. Probably the best cheap option, dare I say that, over Andreas Pereira or Leon Bailey at the moment. But if I had to pick one around that price, it would probably be Mitoma. But then you don't go much higher up, and you're looking at the likes of McAllister coming back from the World Cup, likes to be on penalties, a lot of set pieces for them as well. There are a lot of options. Matoma's probably the one I would go with. You mentioned Evan Ferguson up front. Again, the only concern, I'm a very minutes-based person. Yes. I can't believe I'm saying that, having brought Riyad Mahrez into my team this week.
Yeah, true.
But I do tend to like to bring in players. If I'm going to hold them long-term, I want to bring in a player that I know that's going to be there every week. Danny Welbeck is back fit and available for Brighton, did come off the bench and, of course, scored one of the three goals. So I do expect Ferguson to continue to start the next few. But again, there is that slight bit of doubt that maybe Welbeck gets some starts going forward. It is the midfield that I do like. Defensively, they look solid as well. There are a few good options going at the back as well. If you're looking in goal, Sanchez continuing to be a sort of lovely 4.5 goalkeeper that we could be buying into. It really is Mitoma is the one I'm looking at. Again, the only caveat that I would add with Brighton is they play Newcastle away in game week 25. Now, game week 25, as I mentioned earlier, is the blank caused by the EFL Cup final. Now, Newcastle have Southampton in the semi-finals. If Newcastle are to beat Southampton in the semi-finals, that fixture against Brighton likely to be removed from that week. My only slight caveat with going heavy in on Brighton, although they have nice fixtures between now and then, is you might put yourself in a slightly difficult situation in game week 25.
Yeah, that's the concern, isn't it, for me, Harry? If you look ahead to game week 25, which is weeks away, and we say, well, they may or may not play, and it's kind of ifs, buts, and maybes, you don't want to talk yourself out of getting an asset that for the next 4 or 5 weeks is going to be dynamite for you. I mean, up until that game week 25, you've got Leicester, Bournemouth, Palace, and Fulham for Brighton. So I don't think that would put me off. Not, you know, I wouldn't think, oh, I'm not going to get him because he might blank in 25 and I'll miss out on those four games. I agree with you, by the way. Mitoma is the one. And yes, he'd only got the assist. No bonus points, I don't think, in that game against Liverpool. I think Solly March was kind of hoovering those up. But listen, I watched some of the highlights just because, you know, I like punishing myself like that. And he really gave us a torrid time down that left-hand side. He gave Trent nightmares and he looked really, really dangerous. And since the restart, he's the one that's really been catching my eye. If you want to go for Solly March on the right-hand side, I've got no issue with that at all. And like you say, McAllister, who under De Zerbi in this Brighton system seems to be just that little bit deeper than I would like in FPL. He's playing the kind of Modric role, assisting the assist, the kind of playmaker. And as much as, you know, a few years ago, we go back to Modric when he was in the Premier League, a brilliant player. We loved him. But in FPL, we didn't love him quite so much because he wasn't really getting the FPL points. He was, like I say, assisting the assist and dodging the points from that perspective. So don't know if I'd go McCassie. Has got the penalties, has got some set pieces. So I do like him. But for me, it would be one of the wingers. And I have to say, I'm leaning towards Mitoma. So Brighton looking very, very good indeed. Where else do you want to go from this game week, Harry? Because I noticed if you're a Mitrovic owner, that is deeply unlucky. Deeply unlucky to have that penalty ruled out, right?
Yeah, Very unlucky. And actually, Newcastle defensive owners, which there are now a lot of us, Kieran Trippier, mopping up the bonus points, mopping up another nine-pointer. Newcastle just go from strength to strength, and particularly defensively. I think, you know, a lot of people sat with Almiron in their team. I don't actually own him at the moment, but it is defensively where all the points seem to be going. People are starting to double up with Trippier, plus having to add another one, because if everyone owns Trippier, there's no benefit if they start to keep a clean sheet. So the likes of Dan Byrne, the likes of Shah, the likes of Botman starting to become very popular, or you can go to Nick Pope as well. Newcastle, again, look really strong. And I've only got Trippier as my only Newcastle option at the moment. Yeah. And knowing that I think they're going to win games every week, I feel like I need to add one into my team going forward. But it's not necessarily the attackers that I'm looking at. We did see an Isaac goal this week. Wilson did pick up an assist. There was nothing for Almiron this week, nothing for Almiron last week as well. Although he's great value, when we're starting to see the likes of these Brighton assets come into midfield and offering great value, people are starting to make a switch out of Miguel Almiron, who's been such a good asset for us for so long, starting to potentially look and go, well, I'm going to buy a 4.9 million Mitoma in a team that's scoring, you know, 3 or 4 goals every week at the moment, compared to a Newcastle who are defence first and it feels like attack slightly second. You've only got Trippier. Would you add defensively first, presumably?
Well, difficult. When I said I've only got Trippier, I actually forgot. I've got Miguel Almiron, but I've largely forgot about him because the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks, like you say, hasn't got any FPL points. And that is becoming a bit of a concern for us Almiron owners, I have to say, particularly when the likes of Mitoma and Solly Marsh at the other end of the country bringing home the points. So it is getting kind of difficult. I'm still undecided as to whether that was a kind of purple patch for Almiron, or whether he is genuinely a top player. The challenge again, or one of the other challenges, is that actually Newcastle's next 3 fixtures in particular are Palace, West Ham and Bournemouth. And then in 24, they're home to Liverpool. Now, you know, on paper, that looks like a difficult game for them. But the way that Liverpool have given up chances, you know, I think we've conceded the 3rd or 4th most amount of big chances this season. So Even that should hold no fear for Newcastle attackers. If you've got an Almiron, if you've got a Callum Wilson, you'd likely hold, I think, for game week 24 in terms of Liverpool at home. It's difficult, you know, it's difficult because we all want the shiny new toys, don't we? We all want the Mitomas and the Solly Marches from Brighton because their fixtures look so good and they've just performed really well at home to Liverpool. But part of me just feels like I probably should just give Almiron a couple more weeks because despite 3 blanks in a row, did watch him in that game at the weekend and all right, no FPL points, but did look all right, did look pretty lively, did get into some dangerous areas, got a couple of shots away. It's a hard one. I must say, I'm probably going to give him a couple of weeks. If you had Almiron, Harry, what would you do? Stick with him for a bit?
I probably would, again, looking at the fixtures being quite nice. I would probably give him, again, I've got enough other things to do with my team at the moment that he would get Crystal Palace, West Ham, Bournemouth, 3 teams which are not looking that great defensively at the moment. So I would probably give him those 3. If after Palace we see a similar trend, then I might, you know, get a rain check on that. But I would probably give him game week 21 and game week 22 at least.
I think. All right. Well, let's just briefly look ahead to game week 21 then, a game week in which my team plays your team, Liverpool versus Chelsea at Anfield. We'll discuss a couple of the other fixtures just briefly, but how do you see that one going?
Doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence, but I imagine you're sat there thinking exactly the same thing.
I'm thinking the same.
We're not creating that many chances, this is the thing, but we do tend to be involved in quite low scoring games, although Manchester City in the Cup we conceded quite a few, but the game in the Premier League we only lost 1-0, although, you know, we didn't create that much. We're not conceding a lot of chances, so I don't necessarily think this is going to be high scoring. I would probably expect a Liverpool home win in this one. If it was at Stamford Bridge, maybe I'd expect something else, but I'm not very confident going into this, but I wasn't particularly confident going into Palace at home. So what does that say?
Yeah, I have to say, at Anfield, I know it's the 12:30 kickoff as well, isn't it? It's so we're getting it out of the way early, if that's the right phrase. Yeah, hopefully.
Weekend ruined early.
Well, potentially. I mean, Darwin's, I hope, going to be back. I mean, we've got to wait to hear from Klopp as to whether he's going to be back or not. If he is, I'd like to think, you know, at Anfield, we can do the business, but it's going to be an interesting game. Talk to me through your potential. And I know it's early on in the week. I know we've got plenty of football in the Premier League to go between now and when game week 21 starts on Saturday morning. Captains, transfers, any kind of early thoughts?
Yeah, so in terms of transfers, again, I'm waiting on news of John Stones. I don't necessarily think it's going to be that long term and an injury. So I'm hoping that he might be back for that Wolves at home fixture. If not, I've got Ben White still on my bench every week with Manchester United at home. If I did start Ben White, Manchester United at home, I would have five players in that fixture, which is what puts me off a little bit.
That doesn't feel right, does it? Yeah.
No. So Saka, Martinelli, Rashford, Shaw, and then I'll be adding Ben White as well. In terms of transfers, Salah and Mahrez are the two that I look at. It depends whether Mahrez gets minutes on Thursday against Spurs, whether I decide to potentially move him on and whether I think he'll start against Wolves. But even if he does start, I'm still trying to second guess Pep. And I think we all know how difficult
that is.
Players can start five games in a row. And just because they're benched doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to start. So I might have a look at that Manchester City team. I am hoping that I could potentially roll my transfer this week. I think generally from next week, the Arsenal fixtures, the Manchester United fixtures look really nice. So I'm quite happy that I've got a lot of their assets at the moment. And having, you know, triple Manchester City is absolutely fine given their upcoming run of fixtures. And Harry Kane with the vice captaincy at the moment, Haaland captaincy. I think it's going to stay that way round. But although Spurs are not performing well against the top teams, they are putting some goals past some of teams that maybe concede a few chances. Although Fulham are a great team at the moment and scoring a lot of goals, defensively, they're not quite as good as they are going forward. But I do think it will be a Haaland captain, even if he doesn't get anything against Spurs.
Yeah, I can't look past Haaland captain either, Harry, for the game week for 21. I think Wolves at home just looks like too good a fixture for him. I'm the same position as you, actually. I've got Shaw and White and Rashford and Martinelli. So I do have a lot of players playing each other. And I've got Kepa between the sticks currently with Darwin up front as well. So I do seem to have a lot of assets in FPL playing each other, which is never a good position to be in. So with only one free transfer going into game week 21, I'm going to have to use that in a pretty smart way. And that is part of the reason I think that, you know, Almiron is going to get a stay of execution, because Almiron to Mitoma, as much as I would like to do that transfer ahead of Brighton's nice run, you know, I just can't. It just feels such a luxury transfer to get rid of Almiron, particularly as he's got those three nice games. So, yeah, currently that is my setup. I'm not liking necessarily the look of my team too much, but at least I've got the three Man City locked in there for Wolves at home, which is a nice fixture. And I've got some of the form players like Rashford, like Trippier's in there. And some of the others like Martinelli and Kane will get a bit of a stay of execution, I think.
Yeah, and rolling a transfer, you always have that benefit when you have two that you can start to jig things a little bit around a little bit more than just doing one move up or down. You start to be able to move money around a little bit better. So rolling a transfer does look like the idea for both of us. So we've still got two matches, of course, to play in game week 20 to take place on Wednesday and Thursday evening, which will have a pretty big implication for how all of our FPL weeks and FPL seasons go for those who played their triple captain as well. I am hoping that Erling Haaland does stay quiet, because he only got the captaincy armband for me. Didn't decide to blow in my triple captaincy, and hopefully Riyad Mahrez gets on the pitch for me as well. As Lee and I say, where possible, hold your transfers. Roll them if you can this week. If not, wait until at least after those two matches, because we only know what can happen if you do make those early transfers. And Lee and I have both been burnt by that this week. Kelly, Sam and Jules will be back later this week with the FPL pod on Thursday, where they'll have a deeper look ahead to the upcoming game week 21.
Cheers, Harry. Bye, guys.